right, so welcome to the Confused Breakfast Podcast. On this podcast, we review the movies that define the 80s, 90s, and 2000s for us as kids. But you really can't talk about the defining media of your formative years without talking about the rest of pop culture. On our mini episodes, affectionately known as Mini Bites, you're supposed to, that's usually when you go, We dive into some other aspects of childhood that must be explored. On today's fun side conversation, we discuss the original NES gaming system in all of its glory.
Oh, daddy.
But oh, first, boy. But first, it's
review time.
So this is a review from a friend of mine named Peter. He also runs a podcast called Audible Farm. He said a great...
How dare he?
I know. Can you believe it? He said, it's a great show with great hosts. That's the title. I agree. Cool. I agree.
Cool. We're good now.
Makes sense. Said, I've conversed with Mike's a few times. His other podcast, the Iowa Music Podcast, has become one of my favorites. But Confused Breakfast is giving it a run for its money. The episodes look at movies that we all know and love and ask the questions that have plagued us all in a fun and comedic way. Great cast, great people, great listening.
We're coming for you, our music podcast.
Yeah.
I'm coming for you.
I think it's important to note that, you know, this is a good podcast, The Confused Breakfast, but we do other ones. You boys do the amazing, one of my favorite, I'm Super Stoked podcast.
Thank you.
I also run the Iowa Music Podcast, the Pork Tornado's pretty cool podcast. And our friend Peter also has a great podcast called Audible Farm. So if you need more listening after you've checked our whole catalog out, those are ones you want to check out.
Yeah, man. Thanks, Peter. I really appreciate that. Yeah. Those are some kind words.
Very, very nice things to say about us. God, it's nice to hear some positive feedback on everything.
From other podcasters,
from real
too.
Yeah, absolutely.
From real people.
Oh, definitely. Real people.
Real people who don't leave us one-star reviews.
I'm happy to announce that we actually got enough 5 stars to override the 1 star.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So we went from 4.5 to 5.
All right.
But now do not slack off.
No.
Okay. Yep.
Give us more reviews.
Yeah. That doesn't mean you can just be like, oh, well, they said it. So I'm just like, you know.
So I can remove my 5 star.
Yeah. It doesn't mean like, you know, your artist struggling nowadays. It doesn't mean their Patreons are just null and void.
That's right.
Get at them.
You're in.
Get at them. Yep. And that is the last we'll talk about that.
You bet.
So I have a question for you leading up to today's episode. When did you first get an NES? Like, did you get an NES? Was it always a rentable thing? Were you the popular kid in your neighborhood? Because everybody had a popular friend that was like the first one to get the cool stuff. Was that you?
No.
Did you ever?
I'm just going to say no right off the bat.
Did you ever own an NES or did you just rent it?
My brothers were older than me, and they would have been the ones. So my oldest brother is 10 years older than me, okay? And so by that at that point, he would have probably gone and gotten – he would have been playing it at a buddy's house at the cool
whoever the cool kid was.
By the way, I'll say his name because it's a badass name, right? Okay. Matt Stonebreaker.
Fuck cool. Yeah, dude.
Had a dope ass name and is a super cool guy.
Matty Stonebreaker.
That's right. And I'm pretty sure it was him who had like this all the Super Nintendo, like Nintendo, Super Nintendo,
so
Sega.
Your bro went to his
house.
He had the job that Arnold Schwarzenegger had in Total Recall where he just literally broke stones.
Correct. Yes. Yeah.
Of course.
And so yeah, but we finally ended up getting one eventually, but I don't think it was not at like the peak. This, you know.
What about you, Sean?
Never had one. I got a full disclosure here, guys. I am not a gamer.
Either am I, though. But like when that came, when the NES and the Sega and Super Nintendo, when that came out, I was gamer.
Yeah. I wasn't, man. Like I really like. I'm not like what was me or anything, but like I was an outside kid. I just did outside shit all the time, rode bikes, and that's what me and my brother did. But my only like inkling of like NES was going over to my uncle's and like playing Duck Hunt and playing Super Mario Brothers. He had all of it, and he had like 3 or 4 girls, and I don't know why there was NES over there, but like there was, and it was super fun to go over there and do it. But like I didn't have like a cool friend or anything.
It was
just strictly over there, and even then, you guys, like I gotta say. I don't really care. Go outside, man.
That's understandable. I was also an outdoors kid. Yeah. I loved playing guns. We've talked about shit like that. We used to have an airport by us in St. Louis, and the planes that were landing had the flashing lights on it. Those were guns shooting back at us.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we had imaginations. But, you know, NES came out, and like that was a game changer.
Hey. All right.
I mean, this is like 1987, 1988. The neighborhood kids definitely had it first in my neighborhood, but I was not the last. I wasn't the first. I wasn't the last, but it was like that magical Christmas moment that you see in these old VHS footage where we unwrapped it on Christmas. It's like, oh my God, like it's a fucking Nintendo.
It's your Red Ryder, man.
It was the best gift that I've ever gotten in my life. And really like endlessly gaming for the next 10 days straight. It was a family thing. Like we played it as a family.
Yeah.
We would come home from like soccer practice, mom would pick us up and we'd be like, where's dad? She's like, I don't know. And we'd go in the basement and dad's like, oh, I wasn't doing anything. And like my dad was playing Super Mario Brothers. Like he loved it. You know, that was one of the most technologically coolest advancing things that ever happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Leading up into that point. So for me, it was huge, but I think before we really talk about this, we got to dive into some history of it. Cause as a kid, I didn't give a shit about the history.
It's a pretty fascinating story, man. Like doing the research on this is just like going back to Japan and everything like that. It is like, it didn't break in the US for a long time. And the history of it is very, very fruitful.
And you guys chime in if you got something to add, but the first commercial video game console was actually called the Magnavox Odyssey, which was first released commercially in 1972, which is crazy to think that.
Yeah.
Which that essentially became Atari, right?
Right.
That was the first one you think of. And it had a huge rise in popularity and success in the late 70s. But this success led to a rush of new developers creating games without any publishing controls for the system. So, like, people just started making games and, like, they were okay to do that. Mm-hmm. So it just created this, like, overabundance of poor quality games, and there was no regulations on it.
It's kind of like today with like people just creating apps. Apps for a long time, and that's just inundated with bullshit. Mm-hmm.
Completely, it's the same thing, and there was nothing to govern that. And then you combine that with the rising popularity of the actual personal computer, and the economic recession of the early 1980s, which led to what people called the video game crash of 1983 in the U.S. market.
Well, if I could go back even way further, Nintendo initially started out as a playing card company.
Weird.
Like literally making playing cards out of like bamboo and clay. Like crush up bamboo and clay, and that's what they did, and that's how they sold their stuff. And then Nintendo means leave luck to heaven. In Japanese.
Okay.
So there's that. And the owner of the company tried to venture into package instant rice and Love Hotel and also a taxi company. Once he like kind of got going with it, with his card coming, like it got kind of it got off its feet.
He was a venture capitalist.
Yeah. When this particular guy took over, he's like, well, we're gonna go into other things. Like we're not just like a card company. We can have a fuck hotel and we can have a taxi company that can take you to the fuck hotel.
Yeah, exactly. And then we'll feed you afterwards.
That's exactly
this
right.
This is an entrepreneur at the core, man. Like
this guy. What was it called? What's the Nintendo call? What's the thing?
Leave luck to heaven. There you go. Should have been the name of the hotel.
I think so. I hope it was because, this guy's just banking on necessity in today's world. I mean, you got to have food. You got to have transportation and you got to
get that dick wet.
There you go.
I wasn't going to say it, but thank
you
very
much.
I wasn't
going there, but hey, I'll just leave it.
You know Sean's going to take care of it.
Yeah, I will say pussy and dick all day. it's so much fun. So that failed.
Oh yeah, yeah. So then moving along, then Nintendo, which was the name of this company, they had released a console called Famicom. And it was released in Japan in that same year when everybody was trying to get into this gaming business, right? 1983. But then they put all this work into it. The market crashes, right? Which
is short for family console.
Famicom.
Computer, sorry.
Family computer.
Famicom, family computer.
Gotcha.
Yes, is what it, yeah. There's, do you have computer or console?
I think you're right.
Computer. Yep. Okay. Yeah. Family com. Yeah. So then they eventually, they still believed in it. They felt that they could try to to work on an updated console. So these original plans beyond Famicom called for an advanced 16-bit system, which would function as a full-fledged computer with keyboard and floppy disk drive. But instead, they decided to go a cheaper, more conventional cartridge-based game console, as they believed that features such as keyboards and disk were intimidating to non-technophiles. And I would agree with that. Like,
I think that's genius.
Yeah. Like, if it was keyboards and stuff, and that's for school. Yeah. That was a school thing.
Exactly.
Yep.
But this exciting, you get the packaging and the,
yeah. And some of them looked like a computer. Some of them, like, they looked like whatever the tower.
Yeah.
It looked like a mini tower just like right in front of you. It's just like, yeah, that's at school. You're right. It's like
exactly,
and it's all in one, like a keyboard mixed with like a screen and stuff like that. It's like, no, that kind of, it's like Oregon Trail bullshit. You know, we're over that. You want like a more compact kind of thing and a more kind of fun thing. But also like in like this initial rollout, you guys remember Rob?
Yes.
The robotic operating buddy.
Yes.
Which, you know, that's something all single moms had out there, and they have their underwear drawer right now. That thing has a laser beam that's detecting, That thing has a laser beam detecting device designed specifically to find and destroy that clit. You guys don't even know. Rob had some power.
That's what it was for?
Rob had some power. Yeah, that's what my mom said.
I didn't have Rob. Was Rob that multiple stupid robot that didn't move, but it like rolled its way? It was in The Night They Saved Christmas. Did anybody see that terrible Hallmark movie?
Yeah, he had multiple points of contact.
And it's a clit destroyer. Yeah.
And so my brother described this to me as Rob would he'd even pick up blocks or pick up things to move onto buttons. You have to put the controller in, and then he'll press buttons as well for like the 2-player games that are like require 2 players.
I'm so lost. I don't know what Rob is.
Yeah, that's just who this is.
Had a butt plug on the back.
There it is.
Okay, well then, so in Japan they went forward with the Famicom.
Jesus.
So then that, you know, they still believed in this, so they ended up releasing the Nintendo in Japan, and the popularity soared. Yeah, right. It became the best selling game console in Japan by the end of 1984. So they wanted to take it to America because that's the way, right? But the American video game press was skeptical that the console couldn't have any success, as the industry was still recovering from the video game crash of 1983. Yeah. So in March 1985, the issue of Electronic Games magazine, they stated, and I quote, "The video game market in America has virtually disappeared, and that this could be a miscalculation on Nintendo's part."
Can you believe there was a time where we might not have had this game war, pretty much, essentially. Like, Xbox and PlayStation eventually came along, but, like, you know, NES, and then we'll get this kind of the end of this, which is Sega. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't have the Hedgehogs. We wouldn't have any of that. The Vector Mans.
Had they not pushed forward with this and said, no, we believe in this.
Yeah.
And so they were convinced. They said it's going to be a revolution, and they went forward with it, and they deployed the Nintendo Entertainment System, NES, into America, and Nintendo seeded these first systems to limited American test markets. They started in New York City in October of 1985, and they followed up with a full North American release in February of 86. The nationwide release came in September of 86, and Nintendo, they launched the controller system with the console and 17 different games: 10 Yard Fight, Baseball, Clue Land, Duck Hunt, Excite Bike, Golf, Gyromite, Hogan's Alley, Ice Climber, Kung Fu, Pinball, Soccer. I like how the sports games are just named for what the sport is.
Yeah, just what it is.
Stack Up, Super Mario Brothers, the flagship, of course, and then Tennis, Wild Gunman, and Wrecking Crew. And the rest is history, as they say. Nintendo had sold 7 million systems in 1988 alone.
Wow.
By 1990, 30% of American households owned an NES. That's insane.
By when?
By 1990.
Okay.
30% of households had an NES, which is personal computers were 23%. So they had more than personal computers.
Yeah.
By 1990, the NES had outsold all previously released consoles worldwide. And the slogan for this brand of Nintendo was called "It Can't Be Beaten," and it definitely wasn't, obviously, until the 90s, which the popularity of this obviously leads to more, right? Mm-hmm. You know, people want to improve upon this. So the NES was eventually succeeded by the Super Nintendo Entertainment System, launched in Japan in 1990. And then, of course, you had the SEN, the Super Nintendo and the Sega Genesis releasing consoles with better graphics, better games, 16-bit processing,
right.
And the popularity decreased rapidly. Everybody wanted the next best thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then on August 14th, 1995, Nintendo discontinued the NES system in both North America 95. And Europe. All in all, they sold 62 million consoles worldwide, wow. Which... is crazy because that was not even outdone by Sega or Super Nintendo. Hmm. They sold less. PS1 in 2000 finally surpassed that number of consoles.
Amazing. Wow.
Isn't that nuts?
It's just lasted as the champion for so long.
Yeah, essentially, I mean? What, 85 to 95? I mean, yeah. it went nuts.
Yeah.
Changed the gaming world forever.
Yeah. Well, and I also like their catchphrase, now you're playing with power. Yeah. You know, that was like their first kind of catchphrase. But this, like, we gotta not underestimate the power of nerds. This is how this happens, you guys. Like, nerds can be dangerous, and nerds have basically built this country. I just even said his name, kind of. Bill Gates.
Yeah.
He's a fucking nerd. Yeah. And now he's running the country.
And you know he played Nintendo. You know
absolutely. He was inspired by Mario to make a... What do you do again?
he was inspired by Mario to figure out how to throw fireballs.
Yes.
Bill Gates does that.
Inventor of fireballs. Yeah. Yes. Bill Gates. Yeah. Yes. Yep. Shigeru Miyamoto, right? Shigeru Miyamoto, every once in a while, a nerd wins. Creator of Mario Brothers and most NES components, is just like the guy. Like I think he created Kong or...
Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong. Yeah. Like that was like one of the first like huge games that
that was in arcades and stuff. Like, it was in arcades, like a Pac-Man type thing.
Yeah, and then they condensed it down to the NES eventually, obviously. But then like even controversial to that, the King Kong Universal sued the Donkey Kong makers for rights and everything like that, but they eventually lost because they kind of had no case. you guys don't even own King Kong. Eventually, like, that's that's what the lawyers even said, because Universal, it was like they didn't even know they were in an ongoing lawsuit against I think it was like TriStar or something like that for King Kong. It was so stupid, but yeah, so they eventually got the rights to Donkey Kong, which is obviously nothing like King Kong, but.
It is what it is.
One of the earliest games, for sure. I mean, I'm wanting most popular characters.
Well, and we got to, if we want to keep on the nerdy shit, this is what drives me crazy. So the NES contained a 2 kilobytes of onboard working RAM.
Working
okay. And like, this is beyond me. Like, I'm not smart enough to comprehend like these type of things, but 2 kilobytes. Okay. That was the best they could do back then.
That is wild.
The new PS5 has 16 gigabytes of onboard working RAM. Would you like the calculation?
Please.
2 kilobytes to 16 gigabytes.
Yeah.
Do you know what the difference of that, what that would actually be?
I can't even begin to know.
16 million kilobytes.
Yeah.
So 1 gigabyte is 1 million kilobytes.
And how many football fields is that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. That is in to know where technology has come from.
Yeah, it's insane.
So, and then the other thing, like NES was an 8-bit system, which I think you know what that is.
It is transferring eight bits at a time.
Eight bits of data
at a time.
So
at one point in time.
So to compare that to current gaming consoles, it is currently 64-bit, which is how computers and current gaming system operate. So like the difference in that is astronomical. In fact, going from the 8-bit Nintendo to the 16-bit Super Nintendo was like insanity much better that was. So back when this was created, this was some of the most mind-blowing shit ever. And now you go back to old Nintendo, you're like, wow. Well,
back then, it was ColecoVision. It was Atari. It was Pong. And that's what people were dealing with. And when you played Atari, did you guys ever see Ready Player One?
Yeah.
And how he's, like, a part of that last part is they're playing a game on Atari. And, like, it's so hard to even tell what's going on. Like but so much, I think back then was a lot of imagination, you know? So you just applied it to the game, but those games, that's why they say there was no competition, because this was revolutionary compared to those things.
Super Mario Brothers, that was the first game everybody played. That was insane. The fact that somebody thought that up and designed it, and it could go on. You could play that for months.
On par with like when The Wizard of Oz came out with all this color and TV and the movie and everything, and like seeing all these things like that, and then from black and white to see all these moving parts and colors and the blacks and the whites, the like color pieces like moving. That didn't happen. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen on screens.
Well, going off of Super Mario Brothers and stuff like that, Shigeru Miyamoto, who was the creator of that, and Donkey Kong, along with other games that we'll probably get to, but that was his whole thing. Like there was actually an employee, Mario Segali, I think, was like a lawyer for the Japanese firm in America for Nintendo.
right.
And they named Mario after him.
That's right.
And so, I mean, like, that was his, like, his thing, like, that Shigeru Miyamoto, that was his game. And he wanted to go from, because a lot of games had, like, a black background.
Totally.
And just, like, your character, and that's kind of it. He wanted to really, one, incorporate jumping. A whole lot. So he did that, and like he wanted to have the characters like fully kind of formed. He wanted to have the hat.
Yep.
He specifically wanted a mustache on a character to insinuate the nose a lot. And so he gave him overalls and stuff like that just to make it like a kind of fully formed character.
Yeah.
And built this entire fucking, like, who doesn't know about fucking Mario?
Yeah.
I mean, geez, like, but starting off at NES, you know, like how those graphics look and everything like that, and now you're like your Mario Party World or whatever.
Oh, God.
The fuck, like,
yeah.
But none of that none of that comes along from without that weird,
yeah,
like, absolutely. Well, we're making this game, like, I don't know, like, we're just gonna give him a mustache, and like you just come up with that and it becomes a world. What was your favorite? Because there were three Mario Brothers. There was the original, then there was the two, and then there was the three before it moved on to Super Nintendo. And what was your favorite one?
Mine was three.
Okay.
I liked three. I liked two because two was really
two
out
was
there.
Trippy.
Two
as
was
fuck.
like a goddamn acid trip. I'm telling you, like, what was that, like Pluto or like whoever like shoots the eggs at you and stuff and like pulling up radishes. I thought there were such cool aspects of number two, but number three was where it's at because I like the little map and.
Three was game changing.
Absolutely.
In how it, but the beauty of those three games was that they were all completely different.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It was the same game and the same concept and the same characters, but like they were all just totally different.
Yep.
First one was the basic one, just moving side by side. The second one had the trippy aspects to it. The third one, now we're flying and now we've got these maps and we're doing the shit and the ship's moving up and down.
Oh,
and
man.
I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah,
it's the third one for me too.
100%.
They took like a two-dimensional world and made it feel 3D almost.
Completely.
You know what I mean? And so like, and that's that, like number two incorporated Luigi and you could play as Peach.
You could pick
or
different,
or
Princess and
yeah,
it's another girl.
Well, you've got Mario,
Yoshi,
Luigi, Princess, and Yoshi, I think.
Toad. You could be Toad. But yeah.
It's nuts.
It was, so that was cool. And then, like, number three just took it to a whole new level. And that was definitely my favorite. But I had a lot of other favorite games.
Well, let's talk about games because Super Mario 3 is clearly one of the best games, most popular games. But all in all, do you know how many licensed games there were in the Nintendo world?
I gotta say, I know it's gotta be like 120 something.
Sean, how many do you think?
Maybe it's more.
I'm gonna say in the whole Nintendo world.
In the NES world, how many licensed games were out for the original Nintendo?
I'm gonna say 15.
15 licensed games?
Yeah.
712.
Oh,
what?
Boy.
Oh,
712 licensed games, which I used to always think. And I think we were right. I think PlayStation 2 has eventually surpassed it. But there are games that you had never even heard of or played that your buddy loved and was so good at that you never even heard of. There were just so many titles in the Nintendo world. In fact, I was a firm believer that everybody had one game that they were unbeatable at.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I know what mine was. Do you guys have a game that you were like the best at?
Man, I like no.
For
no,
NES?
I don't.
For NES, for regular Nintendo, I have a game that I still can play and no one can beat me at. Because I did find a Nintendo system in college.
Okay.
I bought one like on eBay, and I bought like 60, 70 games. And we used to drink in college and play regular Nintendo. So
sure.
I regained my powers, but Dr. Mario is the game that no one can beat.
Really? We love Dr. Mario, man. Like we would play that all the time. I think we really picked it up more into Super Nintendo. But Dr. Mario.
Dr.
Mario
is the game that nobody could beat me at.
Gosh.
And in fact, this is a challenge to anybody out there.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Let's see your skills.
Well done.
I never had a game like that. Like I said, it was just like a passing kind of thing for me when I played this thing.
You just played when you could, and
the most thing that I played was Duck Hunt, because I'm like, a fucking gun. Yeah,
get me there, man.
Your mom wouldn't buy you a real gun, so she just
that's it, man. Like, yeah, I just wanted to shoot shit. I guess I was a pretty violent kid. I just love the Matrix.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of it. I mean. Obviously, Mario Brothers and stuff like that. Was Paperboy?
Paperboy was NES. Paperboy, that's one of the most well-known classic
Paperboy
games.
Was it for me, man. Like, it was either Duck Hunt, Mario, or Paperboy. And yeah. I think that might have been all he had. So,
I'll come back to your answer, AJ. Yeah. But with Paperboy, that was this weird Nintendo thing that they came up with, where there were a lot of games where you'd never beat it. You could not beat it, because all it did was just get progressively harder and harder and harder until you died.
You mean like fucking Punch-Out?
Well, I have seen one person beat Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, and it was the most mind-blowing thing I've ever seen. In fact, do you remember Marble Madness?
No.
Yes.
Okay, that was a game where there were like 7 levels, right? And I never saw anyone. As many times as we rented that, nobody ever beat that game until we re-rented it in college. And one of my roommates, we just said, no, we're going to fucking beat this game. And we did. And this is typical Nintendo style, because this was the mountain of video games for me as a kid that no one has ever beat, right? And we put in so much work, and we finally figured out how to beat it, and we beat it, and we got to the end screen. We're like, oh, it's going to be this amazing thing. The end screen was just bouncing marbles, and it just said, congratulations, player. And like, at the beginning, we still entered in like ASS, you know, like ASS, three letters.
Yeah,
we at least put in our name, ASS. They couldn't even say congratulations, ASS. They just said congratulations, player.
They didn't even recognize you. You
they
are
didn't
still
even
a
recognize
peasant.
That. But there's those games like Punch Out and Marvel Madness where like you spent your childhood trying to learn how to beat this game.
It's like when you file your taxes. Like you go through this whole egregious, like awful process. It seems like you're watching Three Ninjas over again. You know, it's just so painful to get through now. And then, like, you get to the end, it's just like, okay, cool. You
congrats.
You lost actually a lot more money than you gained.
But feel free to play it again.
Yeah, but enter your custom name if you like. Yeah, that's whatever. Yeah, play it again. Go through that whole entire process again.
We'll print
it
on a card
for you.
Yeah.
what was your game that you thought you were best at?
So. There's a couple different ones, but I'm going to save one of them. One of them that I actually thought I was really good at, okay, was Kung Fu.
Oh, I can see the cartridge right now.
Yeah, you know the cartridge, right? And so Kung Fu.
Was this also an arcade game?
I don't know if it was.
I want to say maybe. I want to say it actually turned into one after Nintendo.
Is it the one that I kick your ass at? Or?
No, it's not.
No, not that one.
Shut up, okay? No, okay, that's right. Karate Champ.
Yeah, bro.
I love Karate Champ too, but no, Kung Fu is basically a tiered level game, and this is it was a lot like Bruce Lee's Enter the Dragon or the Tower.
Game of Death.
Game of Death.
Yep.
And so basically what it was based on, I believe, but you are a character, you're walking through, and you basically go through levels in this tower to save the girl.
Yep.
And it just, again, it just got progressively harder, and you could punch, you could kick, you could duck, you could jump. And you just had rows of guys, and it was all the same every time, though. And you basically just kept
figuring
out. But it
just got infinitely harder.
Infinitely harder. And so at that point, you weren't fighting guys anymore, but then you were fighting little snakes. And then the guys had knives to throw. And then the guys could throw fire at you, and then you had bosses along the way, and it just kept getting harder and harder as you went up. And I don't think I ever saw the top of it, but I'm pretty sure I got to like level 5 or level 6,
which was like unbelievable.
Which is like my brothers were like, oh, Don't fucking die.
They're in the background going, yeah.
Because I'm the youngest brother and nobody's ever done that. And like we played this down, like it was with my cousins. Our grandparents like got this lake house down in Missouri or whatever. And we would all go and I was playing this game and they were all super hyped on it and just like, oh my God. And then I died and it was.
And then the game is over.
Incredibly anticlimactic.
That reminds me, it's not at all an NES game, but it's kind of like that tier level fighting game, which is Tekken. Obviously we all know Tekken, but we were playing it for PS2. And I remember just watching my brother and his friend play it. And my brother's friend was like getting really, really high up and like, it was like the last guy.
Yeah.
And it was like down to like two, like he had one and then the other guy had one, and so it was down like last couple hits in this last kind of fight. And I remember the seizure that my brother's friend had as he lost, because it just knocks you all the way back down, just much like that game.
Just don't want to play anymore.
It's so hard to start.
I watched
over.
a part of somebody's soul leave their body. It was amazing
because you put so much time and effort into that.
That's what these games did to us. And granted, you know, it wasn't a lot of time and effort necessary. It wasn't a lot of time in the NES world because the longest a game could last. Like a game, if you've got an end, like a start and a finish to it. Even Mario, I think, was going to take
a couple hours.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. and then you start learning the cheats and skip over worlds. Right. And isn't there a speed run? Like the speed record for Mario Brothers 1 is like 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
It's crazy. They know the secret little level.
They never let off the forward pad.
Never.
No.
Never.
Here's some games. I went back through all of them. I've read through a lot of them.
Wait, I've got some.
Here's some of my favorite ones. Stop me if you remember these. Cobra Triangle was a boat game. Nope. One of the earliest ones. Remember Burger Time? Does anybody remember
Burger Time?
That's one of those games that never ever ended. You just kept getting worse. And like the condiments were chasing you.
What the fuck?
It made no sense. How about Rad Racer? One of the first racing games. And you could pick different. There was three different songs to choose from.
Yes.
And I remember being like, I always have to listen to the second song because the second song has the best vibe for me to drive. I mean, like it. And like, okay, and then hockey fans here.
Hockey, yes.
The eternal debate. The original ice hockey, which was the very poor graphic one that you got to pick your team, either the fat guy, the middle guy, or the really skinny guy. And the really skinny guy was very fast, but would get checked off the puck. The fat guy would never get checked off the puck, but was really slow.
Yep.
You got ice hockey versus Blades of Steel.
Mm. Blades of Steel.
Blades of Steel.
And that's where you're the blue guy and the red guy.
Yes.
And it's like an intense game of Pong.
It's pretty awesome.
I'm going to go there.
I loved both of those hockey games, but Blades of Steel is probably a little bit.
You guys could also just buy some skates and go to a real hockey rink.
No.
Video
games, bro.
We played Blades of Steel at an arcade. It was a barcade in Chicago.
Okay.
You were there.
Yeah.
We played it. I'm almost positive, But yeah, great game. And I think we played ice hockey in like a bachelor party sort of situation. And it was hilarious.
It's awesome. Think of like swingers, like when they're playing Sega, they're playing NHLPA. Like it's you and your friends playing video games.
In the movie Swingers?
Yeah. Okay. You remember when you were swingers with your friends?
Oh yeah, the good old days. What? It's like, what the hell?
But there's some other crazy, like some of the originals, like Excite Bike.
Yep.
You got to build your own course.
Yeah, that was crazy.
It's unbelievable. It had the really big jagged aggro crag mountain that you could put. You just put 10 of them.
You just
in
put
a row.
Like 900 in a row and just be like, I'm gonna try to do it.
And you're like, okay, Tommy, you stupid brother. Try and beat this course.
Yeah.
Things like that. And of course, Paperboy, we talked about that. And then you start getting into some of the games that maybe a lot of people didn't play. Like, I was a big Addams Family fan. DuckTales had a really good game.
DuckTales was fun.
RC Pro-Am was another racing game. There was a game called Dodgeball, which I had never heard of until college. Like, I think we bought it. Just because it came with our, like, here it comes with 50 games, like Dodgeball. Like that was, we used to get drunk on that in my dorm room and just play fucking Dodgeball. God. There was a good soccer one called World Cup where you used to pick different teams and they would do bicycle kicks.
Oh, shit.
And when they did the bicycle kick, it was like a secret, the ball would like turn on fire and go really fast. I mean,
burn through the net.
It would, man. It was, and of course, Battletoads.
Oh God, I love Battletoads.
Battletoads,
dude,
might be one of the most highly regarded games in Nintendo history.
Yep.
That, and of course, one of the most popular games of all time was started on the NES. You know what it is?
You went from Battletoads. I was going to go Double Dragon.
Well, of course.
Okay.
That was a movie too, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, terrible movie.
Double Dragon 2 was better than Double Dragon 1, okay? Now, I was talking about Legend of Zelda.
Legend of Zelda.
Somebody
Zelda.
Came, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, like that was invented, that world was invented for to become a game, right?
Yeah,
like,
it was Shigeru Miyamoto who invented or created Super Mario Brothers, and the entire outlook and platform of the NES also created and directed all of Legend of Zelda.
Yep.
Was that what I'm saying? Legend of Zelda? Okay.
Legend of Zelda, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that I can't wait to get to, we'll dive into more video game systems, but I think my favorite game of all time is Ocarina of Time on N64, and you don't have that. You don't have any of that, not only a game system or even that game concept, without this original terrible yet amazing NES game.
Somehow fascinating and just endlessly replayable game that was just so simple.
Around that time, I think it was 1986 as well, Metroid came out. But on top of those two games like kind of being developed and everything like that, he developed a saving system within the NES where you could save your progress and you could come back to it. And that's like the kind of first inkling of being able to save your games.
Like long-term game plan.
Yeah, where you could stop. We used to just hit pause and go up and eat dinner.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, you had to. There was no memory card. There was no, Oh, God, that was the worst.
Do you remember getting mad, like, if you wanted to punk your brother, like, he's in the middle of a game, and you just run up and tap that reset button?
You son of a...
Done. Game over.
Dude. Yeah, that was I'm sure the basis of several beatings for me and my other brothers at any point in time, just going down the line.
Well, and let me throw a few more things at you before we get on to something else here. So when you're talking about good games, you also have to talk about bad games, because there were some terrible, with 700 titles.
Yes.
And the majority of them, looking back, stemmed from a publisher of games called LJN. If you remember, they had a little rainbow on the cartridge.
Yes.
Said LJN. So they are commonly known as having some of the worst Nintendo games because they were kind of money grabs, right? They would take the most popular thing of the day, The Simpsons, a popular movie, anything, and they would just make a game out of it. Because they knew people would buy it. So
they probably made a fucking Three Ninjas game is what they made. No, they probably did it.
You ready for this?
Please.
So
they made a Santa Claus game.
Okay, ready? How many games were made out of movies that we have already discussed on this show that we've made an episode out?
Beetlejuice
was a Nintendo game, and it was terrible, by LJN.
Three Ninjas.
Nope. Three Ninjas was 92, so that was kind of after everything. No, Three Ninjas.
There wasn't an.
There was a Lethal Weapon game.
There was a Lethal Weapon game.
And it was terrible.
Yeah.
What have we done?
Two more. It was Home Alone. There was Home Alone 1 and 2.
And 2.
And Karate Kid. All terrible, terrible games, all made by LJN. They would basically pick popular movies and just go here. One of the highly regarded worst games of all time is Ghostbusters. You think that's going to be a cool game, right?
Yeah,
Ghostbusters,
absolutely.
All the time. It's one of the shittiest games ever, including Back to the Future. They made a 1. It was okay. Then they made a Back to the Future 2 and 3. It was the same game called Back to the Future 2 and 3.
They just kept going.
Just a straight money grab. Terrible.
Bastards.
Jaws was a terrible game.
I can't imagine
game.
Like these games are like, I'm assuming they like have like an outline of one game, and then it's like movie it. Karate Kid, he just goes through the pitfalls of the game,
and it's Jaws. not even close. They just kind of go, whatever, here's kind of a thing.
It's like they don't get it, because like Jaws is the good guy in the game.
Yeah. And so that's those are some of the games I remember. There was a game called Monster Truck Rally that you had to circle your thumb on the D-pad to make it go, and we would get blissed, like our thumbs would just come
just
apart.
Just raw fucking thumb thing. Oh my gosh. It was the worst.
There's a guy, if you haven't looked at him yet, it's some of the most classic YouTube content. His name's Angry Video Game Nerd. Yeah. he tackles all of this. I mean, just go to his page and start looking up some of these games like Ghostbusters or Beetlejuice or Karate Kid, because it's amazing. He shows you the screen play while he's going through it. And like, it just shows you how terrible and how frustrating these games are. It's amazing.
Oh gosh, dude. I don't know how many more of those you've got.
No, that's it.
Is that it?
Yeah.
I have a couple, like there's a couple of games like, I'm pretty sure 1948 was definitely a game for this. Do you remember that
1941?
One? 1941. 1941. Yeah. The flyover game. That was super fun.
That was
fun.
A cool game.
Super fun. But one of the other games that I couldn't say that I was the best at. But I figured out like a lot of the tricks, you know, a lot of little like tips and tricks was Skate or Die.
Oh, Skate or Die.
And for me, it was Skate or Die 2.
Okay. Okay.
So
he didn't die.
He didn't die.
He skated.
Continued to skate.
Okay.
Kick push, motherfucker. but Skate or Die 2 was the big one. And that was the really fun one because you had like different places you had to skate around town, and you had to go to different places. It was like the precursor to what Tony Hawk became, man. Yeah.
You hit a crack, you fall and die.
Absolutely, yeah. You did.
Yeah.
Like it was so crazy. But you're like, oh, got to go to the skate shop, and then like you got to go to the vert ramp, and then you got to go to the downtown drag, and like you got to go to the downhill.
And you
thing.
Did it. You said, I'm gonna go do that.
Yeah, and you had to play like different computer players, you know, like Lenny and then Rex was
Fester.
Oh, Fester. Yeah, man. Skate or Die too. But I remember just like killing it on the vert ramp.
Remember California Games? Did that ring a bell at all? See, and that's the thing about Nintendo is there's so many games. This game was a part of my childhood, and you guys never even heard of it.
So crazy.
Isn't that nuts?
It'd be so fun to like go and like really revisit or just visit somebody who has the library.
So there's somebody out there. Yeah,
I've got 60 games, so let's find a console and let's have a night.
Dude, we can do it.
Let's do it.
I've got something that'll play them.
All right,
so
there you go.
Yeah.
Well, and before
I got
we
TV.
Get, I got a TV. Sean's got company and beers.
Yeah. Hey, all right.
Hey, I can. I'm a joker.
Are you a smoker?
Midnight joke.
No! You son of a
I don't know
bitch.
Why we did that.
I'm definitely going to cut that out.
Thank you.
Hey, well, and before we end, you got to talk about the accessories, because the Nintendo then went off the popularity and said, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We can keep adding weird things that they'll buy that they'll hate, but they'll have to get it because we make a cool commercial.
Correct.
And so initially it did come with the gun. The gun, I remember the original pack came with Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt, which came with that gun, which of course the cheating way was put it right up to the screen. And of course, you know, nobody was going to sit back like 10 something feet.
Absolutely not. It's hard, man.
It's really hard.
It's a hard game.
But then do you remember the Game Genie?
Yes.
Oh.
Boom,
is this
baby.
Like Game Shark for a PS?
I guess.
Like the cheat codes?
Yeah. Okay. So it was an actual thing. You plugged the game into this thing.
Right.
And then the whole thing went into the system.
An adapter, if you will.
Okay.
An adapter. So,
It was amazing because then you'd have to buy this book that had every game made.
Right.
And it would tell you what the codes were. And before the game started, it started this new screen where you entered in these weird codes.
Yes.
Give you endless lives or start at whatever level you want to start at. And like that was a game changer,
oh, man.
The Game Genie.
It was crazy. I remember that was another thing at my brother's house.
Oh, he's got Game
he
Genie.
He had the Game Genie.
He bought
man.
The book.
Yo, dude. And so like every time you did, you took it, you put the he like lived with his Game Genie in his
yeah,
system.
Of course. Once you have it, why would you not?
In there. And so then they'd plug in games, and I'd watch them do this. I had no idea what the hell was going on. And they're entering in all these random codes and stuff.
HQXZZWZ.
Yeah. And they're like, some of them were long, and like, I don't know. Like, I was just like, or maybe it was just long to me in my young brain. And I was just like, God, that's crazy. And they're like, yeah, we played like Sims and we got all this money or some shit. Like we got all this stuff. We got unlimited money in Skate or Die 2. We got unlimited lives in Mario. And it's just like, and then I'd go and try to do it and I'd be like, I don't understand what's
going
on.
I hate this.
What I would do with unlimited lives in Super Mario. Shit.
Well, I wouldn't die. You're more reckless, bro.
Yeah.
You are. Well, and that's accessories is Rob. I mean, Rob was one of those obnoxious things that nobody should have owned Rob. It was this ridiculous thing. You put a controller in front of it. He like sets blocks down on the buttons to play in sync with you, and it was the most obnoxious, untimely thing on earth.
I'm just going to have to look this up, I guess.
You got to look it up, man.
All right, last two accessories, power pad, power gloves. Remember those?
Yes.
I actually don't remember anyone ever having a power glove because I feel like it was pointless. It was basically just you wore the glove, but it had the controller on it, so you couldn't use two hands. You had to use like one hand to do it. I don't remember the power glove.
Have you
glove.
Ever seen the movie The Wizard?
No.
Well, then I guess you guys don't know how the power glove works. I love the power glove. It's so bad.
Did you ever have a power pad?
That's the runner thing.
That
right?
was the runner thing. And you realize you're like, the reason I'm playing video games is to not do outdoors.
Correct.
Kids. Why am I running? Also, it was like the original. You knew Nintendo was going to stick with it. They eventually got the Wii, where they're like, you can also do fitness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They had to work on that for about 20 more years to get kids to be like, yeah, you're right. I do.
Because you could play badminton.
Yeah, I don't want to. I want to sit in my beanbag chair, eat Cheetos.
Yeah, exactly.
Eat Jumpin' Jack Flash Doritos. Remember Jumpin' Jack Flash Doritos?
No.
We should do an episode about food. Like snacks from the
90s. 3D we Doritos, buddy.
Ooh. Heck yeah, dude. The power pad was one of those things that I remember going over to our next door neighbor's house, and they had they had it for a Sega, I want to say.
Yep.
But it's the same idea. It's the exact same thing.
You get it, and you go, this is dumb.
And it was the track games, you know, the track. And it was just like, you're a runner, and like, you each had to basically, and there wasn't any form to it. You just had to like slam into these pads as fast as you can.
In fact, you could sit on your knees and hit them with your hands.
Just use your hands. And like I remember like when somebody was losing, they'd be like, dang it. And then they do that. They just drop right back to their knees. Just go.
It's like the original Dance Dance Revolution.
Yeah, it was the really same was.
Thing. Like, I remember like the pole vaulter on. You're just like, okay, Evolution. Ready? Ready? And then you just see your like 8-bit character just kind of fold.
Yeah.
And you never made it.
Yeah, no.
You never like
Nothing
hurtled.
Ever
you,
happened.
You just, you like, it just did the graphic of how you failed. Yeah. And you're just like, when am I ever going to win? It's like, I don't think you do. I think it just chooses itself.
You're winning because you're working out and being a healthy young child.
Keep trying.
That's right. Eat an apple, dummy.
Yeah. Lift some pole vaults.
Put the Jumpin' Jack Flashes down and eat an apple.
Get your mom's Rob.
And really the last thing I wanted to bring up was how it always seemed like you were the only person that knew how to operate your home Nintendo system. You know, like everybody had their own little ways of doing it. Like, you know, no, hold on. You blow once, then you wait, then you do two quick blows.
Yep.
And then when you put it in, you make sure it doesn't touch the sides and you slowly press that thing down.
Yep. Yep.
But if you tried it and I told you how to do it, you wouldn't know how to, it wouldn't mm-hmm. work.
Nope.
But let me try it. Cause I know how to do it.
This is the precursor, the 101, the initial start to every kid now, or person who's our age, who knows how to troubleshoot.
It was the start.
They know how to troubleshoot technology because of the fucking NES.
Yep.
And it was. And I swear to God, I even had a friend who was like, no, you got to flip the flap down really hard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You have to leave the flap open.
Right, right.
Don't close the flap.
You got to do it. Or it's like, well, the power cord, you got to kind of tuck it under this whole system because otherwise it kind of like loses the touch.
We used to do where I think that system I had in college where you had to put another game in on top of the game that you were playing to hold it down.
So it wouldn't eject back.
Yeah, but like that was the only way I was going to. Do you want to play the game or not?
Yeah, I guarantee you did all like every single one of my friends who had like an NES or a game system in general, and I went over there. All of their techniques was just fucking slam that bitch in there. It's like, oh, it's not working. It's skipping again. You like they take it out and they throw it against the wall, and like and then their dog gets it for him, and it's like all slobbery. It's like now it'll work. It's like
now it's moist.
That's the solution.
Yeah, you got to lube it up before you put it in.
My
Sean.
God, dude.
That's the thing. Like it was, you're 100% right. There's a secret sequence to every single person's system
totally.
That they had. You're absolutely right.
I for one miss the simplicity of the NES, and that's why I really would like to have a little gamers night with you guys.
It's like VHS.
I'd be down for
that. It's like VHS. It's the same thing. Like it's a lot more work, but it reminds you of the simpler days, which is why we do this podcast talking about simpler days.
I don't know about Steam. What's a Steam? How do you play games on that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
How do you manipulate Steam into playing Zelda?
It doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't get it.
Just keep it simple for me, please.
I'll take a useless piece of plastic and put it in another useless piece of plastic to just manipulate my brain.
There you go.
100%.
I say we keep moving forward. I say we tackle the Super Nintendo, then we tackle the Sega.
We might as well.
Can't wait. The PS1. I think about there's some iconic games in all this. So I say we keep moving along.
PS1, PS2 is my era. Where if we get there?
Twisted Metal.
You bet.
Oh.
You bet.
Jack and Dexter, dude.
But once we get to PlayStation 2, I'm probably going to have to call it quits.
PlayStation 2.
If we get to
Xbox.
Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, like that's let's just do a full episode on Grand Theft Auto and we'll call
it
good.
I'm down for that.
But then like when you start talking Xbox 3 millions, yep. I don't have those. I don't game. So
your Portal game. Games, hashtags.
We could do Game Boy. Remember Game Boy?
Yeah, Game Boy Color.
They were bad.
I do.
The original Game Boy was real bad.
Talk about accessories for that. Do you remember putting on the
lights
or the magnifying lens that you clipped onto the top of it and then it lit it up so you could magnify it? And it's just, 100% I had it all, bro.
And now we have these iPhones that just do anything we could ever want
they
in our
do?
Entire
you
lives.
You can play games on these?
You can play the best games in the world probably on your phone. I'm sure you could.
I've downloaded emulators to phones. It's ridiculous, man. I could do it all.
Well, that's going to be it for us today for today's Mini Bite episode. We hope you enjoyed. Tune in next week. We're going to get back to the movie reviews, and we're going to talk about one of the many movies that were actually made into Nintendo games. This was made into, I think, 2 or 3 different Nintendo games
due to its
popularity. And it was actually done well.
They were super fun.
Yep. So Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is our next movie review. So turn in next week and... I don't think we have a mini bite yet, but we'll come up with something good for you, and we'll tell you all about it.
Yeah, you bet.
Okay, so I'm just going to say bye.
Goodbye.
Okay,
bye.
I love you. Bye.
I love you more. Okay, bye.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.